Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I'm here with the lovely Brody today. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So excited to have you on. Could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so hi, I'm Brody. I'm a mum to two boys. I've got a husband who used to be in the military. He now does like construction, so he's still working away. So I solo parent a lot of the time. I do YouTube as like a hobby. Yeah. I'm a support worker and yeah, that's basically about me.
You sound very, very busy.
yeah, sometimes I'm.
Yeah, and being a solo parent as well must really come with its challenges. How do you find that?
Well, most of the time, all right. I mean, I found it a lot easier when I had one kid.
Yeah.
But when you've got two, you're just always busy, aren't you? It's so busy.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's all right.
Yeah. And you can't like tap out if you're solo parenting. If you're having like a really shit day and you're just like, oh, I just need a break. You can't be like, there you go. There's the kids. I'm off for a walk.
Yeah, literally. By the time Thursday comes around, because at the minute on this current job, like I said, Neil's in construction now. So at this current job, he can come home on a Thursday. So it's like Monday to Thursday at minute. And I'm just like, oh, please. I'm praying for 6 o'clock on Thursday. Yeah. I cannot wait for you to get home.
Oh, bless you. But then on the other hand as well, like I had someone on my podcast the other day that we were talking about sometimes how it's a little bit easier when you don't have the husband's home. Yes. I don't know how you feel, but it's almost, I don't know what it is, but it's almost like having them not there just makes some things run a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah, to be fair, like I say this to my best friend all the time. So me and my friend are like voice noters. That's how we communicate.
Oh, yeah.
We've both got kids, so we're like, right, 3 hour voice note heading your way. But yeah, like in the week, because I've got my own routine with the kids, the kids know how it's going to work. Like they know what's going to go down. But then as soon as dad comes home, routine out the window. They want to play up because they're like, oh, dad'll give me whatever I want. So it is much easier on my own, to be honest. Which is weird.
I know. You'd think that having another adult around to like tag team with would make it easier, but sometimes when my husband's like out or away or whatever, I'm like, oh, I panicked about nothing. I got stressed about nothing because actually there's one less person making mess.
Yep.
There's one less person here to like getting involved with the drama and, you know, add to like the heated arguments and stuff.
Yeah.
There's one less person to be passive aggressive at when he's sitting on his phone and stuff. Because
very true.
There's only me that's responsible for doing the things. So like,
yeah,
I don't know. Some bits just make it easier. I'm like, do you want a night out soon, Alec? Like, come on, book a night out. Off you go.
See you later.
Oh, bless them. Do love them though. But what we've come on to talk today about mainly is the kind of losing yourself in motherhood, which is so very easy to do because you've gone from only having to be responsible for yourself and do the things that you want to do whenever you want to do them to then being fully responsible for these little human beings that sap the life out of you and you can no longer just be like, okay, I'm off to the gym, or, you know, I'm off to my art class. You have to organize and plan these things, and they can't happen very often. So I wanted to ask you, how was your journey to finding yourself again during motherhood?
Well, first time round, I think I struggled quite a lot because it was during COVID. Mm. Obviously, being a mum in itself is a lot to learn. Like, it's a lot to take in. I found it very overwhelming. I felt like I had no support through COVID. Obviously, I did through family, but, like, you know, in terms of, like you said, finding yourself, I tend to rely on, like, Instagram mums. This is why, like, with my YouTube and stuff, I have so many thanks for, like, the people I met on there, because they helped me through so much. And it took months that first time round, but then this time with my second kid, you know, everything's back to normal, so I kind of slotted my life back in a lot quicker than I did the first time. And because I'd done it before, it were easier this time round. And again, you've got that more support as well with online, and you can actually see your friends this time round as well, who obviously are a massive help. So it happened a lot quicker this time. I think COVID just slowed so much down in terms of getting used to being mum and yourself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for my personal experience, my age gap was only 2 years and 4 months.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, so I think you can't quite get there yet, and then all of a sudden you're having another one and you're like, okay, well, I haven't found myself again yet, and now I've got another one, so I'm basically starting again. So I think this time, when I eventually did come to find myself again, I'd forgotten who I was. So it had been that long that I was like, I don't know who I am, I don't know what I enjoy, I don't know what clothes I enjoy wearing, I don't know what I want to do. So I went through this, like, I don't know, I guess this sounds a bit cringy and cliche, but like rebirth of myself.
Yeah, no, that's
because,
exactly what
we did. Yeah, I just, like, I turned into this weird person that wasn't me throughout motherhood. Like, I never wear black or beige clothes, and somehow I ended up wearing black and beige clothes after having kids and, like, not doing the things that I enjoyed. And I was like, who am I? Like, and then finally, now that my little boy is now 3, in the last year or so, I've really started to become myself again, wearing the colours that I love to wear, doing the things that I love to do. But it took a really long time to realise what actually made me me. I remember my therapist actually asking me one day, what is it that brings you joy? And I was like, I don't know, like, I have no idea. And the way that she got me to figure that out was to think back to my childhood and to think of the things that brought me joy back then. So that was spending time with my friends, being outside. I love, like, I'm such an outdoorsy person, love being outside in nature. And dancing and singing, love doing that. Can't do it, but love doing it.
Same.
And also, like, activities and being creative. So, like, doing artwork or doing fun activities, you know, like climbing stuff and, you know, all that.
Even
kind
just
of thing.
Getting outdoors is so good for, like, your mental health.
Exactly. But yeah, I started doing those things again, and I was like, wow, I feel like me again. Yeah. So sometimes it's just about taking yourself back and just realizing what actually made you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you said earlier, you just start to feel like you're getting back to yourself, and then, like us, we had another baby. Like, I remember saying to Neil, you know what, actually I feel kind of like I'm getting back to normal again. And then I found out I was pregnant, and I was like, oh, okay, start again.
Yeah, that's almost a good thing about having them quite close together, is that
you get it all out the way, you
get yourself back straight away. Whereas my best friend, she has a 5, nearly 6-year-old and a 7-month-old, and she'd got herself back to normal, like, was going on date nights, was, you know, back to her normal self again, and then she had another baby, and now she's like, oh, like, I just don't feel like myself. And I'm like, remember last time you did get yourself back. It's just going to take some time. But yeah, we got ours done in one sharp, what is it? Sharp I can't remember.
I don't know.
One foul swoop.
Yes, we've got it out of the way.
We did.
Like,
we did.
I'm now a year just over postpartum with my second. We're not having no more because Neil had the snip like 2 weeks ago now. So like, we're done.
Yeah. How was he with that, by the way?
Really good. So I basically said, we've had this talk for like ages. Yeah. And I said to him, like, you know, I don't want to be on contraception till I'm like 60 odd year old, if we still do it by then. but like, I just don't want to be on it. So if you don't want more kids, then it's time for you to step up basically and snip them off.
I love that.
Yeah, all right then. I thought, well, that's really the least you can do. I've pushed two humans out for you. So come on, it's time to play your part. So he had it done. He had it done on the Wednesday. And so they did advise him like 2 weeks off, no heavy lifting, no going to the gym. But I don't know about you, but we can't just afford to have 2 weeks randomly off. Because it was like, oh, you've got an appointment next week. So we had no time to plan for it.
Imagine going to your boss and being like, by the way, I need 2 weeks off. I'm having the snip.
Yeah. Like, it just wouldn't work, would it?
No.
So he went back to work, and thankfully his boss were really understanding. So he had like light duties for a bit, and he's fine now. So it's like just over 2 weeks, and he said it's like back to normal. So.
Oh, amazing. That's good.
But yeah, so he had that done, and I can't even remember my original point now. I'm really bad at this. I go off on this random
tangent.
That's
my fault for butting in and asking about the vasectomy, because my husband has wanted one for ages. He jokes about me getting it for him for Christmas. I should do it. But yeah, I think we should do it, because it's not, you're right, it's not fair that we should have to take the brunt of the contraception all the time.
No.
Thankfully, I have a dodgy liver, so I can't take contraceptives at all.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I could have is the copper coil, not the Marina coil, because it's got hormones on it. But the copper coil. But I had one of those before and it caused me so much pain.
Yeah.
So I've not got anything. It's just condoms for us. Yeah. But like, the brunt of it would, if I didn't have a broken liver, would fall to us to take the contraception.
Absolutely. And I'm like, it's not fair.
Why? No. Like, why should we feel irritable and angry and spotty and get and put on weight just because like we're the ones that have to do the contraception? By the way, for those out there, they don't all do those things, but the ones I was on before made me spotty, made me overweight, and it was, not nice.
It's just
at all.
A mess. Like, I do not enjoy contraception. The only thing it's good for, so currently, because I'm still breastfeeding, I'm not having any periods. I've had like one since I gave birth, which is amazing.
Yeah.
but when I was on it, the only thing it was good for is if I were going on holiday. I know it shouldn't be taken like this, but I'd carry on an extra week just so I didn't bleed on holiday. Like, that was the only good thing.
Yeah, you could literally plan your life around when your period was going to be. Yeah. I remember literally like, okay, well, that's when my period's going to be. So don't go like book swimming or whatever on that time. And like, don't book holiday on that time.
Yeah.
But now, to be honest, my periods are like pretty much to like by the book, because I've been off of contraception for so long. I think I've got into like a rhythm, but it did take a while to get back to that. And yeah, I got the coil instead because I hated how the pill made me feel.
Yeah.
And it just was so painful for me. Like, people say that it's painful, but like, this was something else. Like, I would even go as far as to say that the contractions that I got when I had the coil put in were worse than the contractions that I got when I was having the babies.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, no, this thing has to get out of me.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I need to send hubby on the way to get the snip.
Definitely. I think it's the way forward. If you're done with having kids, just go send them away and get it done.
Yeah. But yeah, you were talking about you're not having any more children, so you're kind of able to like find yourself again now.
This is it. So that's the original point. Yeah. So I'm like a year in now, and also, I think it helped as well with New Year coming into it. So me and a few friends at work, I see them obviously a lot. We were discussing about how this year we want to change and all this. And I thought, well, actually, I want to find who I am again, because you do get lost. You kind of, like you said, you change how you look, you change how you feel. Your whole world just changes, because that first year, all you're thinking about is making sure that kid stays alive, they're fed, they're clean, they're watered, like... you completely put yourself on the back burner. And I feel like now Caius is getting older, and obviously our Oscar's 3 now as well, so he's very independent for his own age.
Yeah.
I just think, no, actually, it's my time now. Like, I want to figure out who I am.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't know if you figured through, like, that first year you suffered with, like, mum rage or anything, because that's something that...
Yeah.
I mean, I still get it now. I'm trying to figure out how... So I like the idea of gentle parenting,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how to regulate my own emotions yet. Mm. I'm trying to figure that out. And yeah. I feel like this year is the time for me to kind of think, right, I need to sort myself out, as well as I can't preach to my kids if I'm also really angry all the time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that will kind of be secondary to that. Like, you learning to regulate your own emotions will teach your kids how to regulate their emotions as well,
exactly.
which will then also help with gentle parenting.
Yeah.
Because I think because I'm a few years ahead of you with my kids, because mine are 5 and 3. So I've had the chance to, like, learn with my children as I go, which is what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And as I've been learning how to regulate my emotions, it's been teaching them how to do it as well. So my daughter is really sweet, bless her. She does things all the time that she's obviously learned with me to do as well, because I had postpartum rage really, really badly.
Yeah.
And it's actually a symptom of postpartum depression, which I didn't know.
Yeah, my friend actually told me that.
Because nobody
which
talks
I didn't
about
know.
That.
No,
people
they
just,
don't.
Like, assume that postpartum depression is you, like, not enjoying your child, not loving your child, feeling down.
Crying,
like, crying. But actually, the rage is a symptom of it as well.
Yeah.
And I learned how to control the rage outwardly so that I wouldn't, like, scream at my children or, like, whatever. And I learned how to keep it in, which was fine. But then I just felt constantly like I was like a bubbling volcano that was about to explode, but just never got to the point of exploding because I learned how to, like, suppress it, which was not healthy either, because I was just constantly walking around feeling this, like, oh, I'm going to blow up. Like, and just wanting to, like, screaming to a pillow.
Yeah.
But now I've learned kind of how to help those feelings, and that is through things like doing things for me, putting myself first, you know, focusing on exercise, the things that are good for you, like exercise, sleep, water, healthy diet. Because as much as when you're feeling like shit or angry or a bit down, you don't want to do those things. Like, if you're feeling down and, like, depressed and a bit low, the last thing you want to do is get up and go to the gym.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It is the thing that you have to do. You have to exercise for your mental health. And that's the hard bit, I reckon.
I mean, that's something. So I'm not usually a new year, no goals kind of girl.
Yeah.
But this year I thought, you know what? No, actually I am, because I need something to focus on. And I work well. If I've got a list of something I want to achieve, I work well at doing it because I can see it on paper.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, you know what? Something that will drastically help, because I used to love going to the gym prior to kids.
Yeah.
Don't have the childcare for that now. So I thought, you know what? That's no excuse. I should be able to just do stuff at home. So, like, I said to myself, I'm going to be more consistent in working out, whether that be a YouTube workout. I've got, like, a bike off Facebook Marketplace. So I go in there sometimes if I need, like, 5 minutes to just cool off, or exercise. Since I've started doing that, has helped me massively. Like, my moods have just shot up.
Yeah.
Like, my anger's gone down, and the kids just seem to want to be around me more. And I thought, oh, actually, maybe I am becoming a better version of myself because I'm doing these things for me, which definitely helps.
Yeah, definitely. I had Amy Crisp on my podcast yesterday. The episode's not live yet, but she writes a note on her phone of the way that she feels once she's done a workout. And she said she's written down, like, I'm a better mum, I'm happier with my kids. Like,
really
all the way that she feels, so that those days where she's like, oh, I can't be arsed to do exercise, like, she looks at it and she's like, okay, I'll feel better. Because I set loads of goals this year of doing, like, 10,000 steps a day, 30 minutes of exercise a day, regardless of what the exercise is.
Yeah.
And I did it for about maybe a good month. And in the last few days or week, I'm really slacking, and I can feel it in myself. I'm getting snappy. I'm getting angry. I had a mental breakdown on my Instagram stories the other day. I just feel like much lower in myself. So I know that I need to drag myself and do some sort of exercise for those happy hormones. And just like, even people who don't particularly like exercise, as in, you know, a workout, going to the gym or whatever, just getting out for a walk, getting your 10,000 steps in a day, just those little things can really help to lift your mood and help you to feel like you again.
100%. I mean, the other day, I really couldn't be arsed. Like, I picked the kids up. They were in a foul mood. I was just like, oh, it's raining. I have had enough of my life. So, like, you know what? I do. So on days where I haven't got anyone to watch the kids, like, I'll just put, have you heard of Grow With Joe on YouTube?
No, but is that Joe Wicks? No.
No, she's a girl from America, which is really good. So if anyone wants to do like at-home workouts, shout out to Grow With Joe, because she's got like loads of like dancey workouts. She's got walking workouts. And the other day she put one on and it was like a 12-minute cardio. And I thought, you know what? It's 12 minutes. That's going to go by so quick. So me and the kids did it. Our Oscar joined in. By the end of it, I was happier. The kids were like in a much better mood. And I thought, you know what? That's 12 minutes. Like, I'd have just sat scrolling on Instagram for 12 minutes, feeling like depressed about my life. But then I did that and I just instantly felt better. And like I said, the kids were happier. And it's just about taking these little things and I suppose pushing yourself, thinking, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I bet I feel better afterwards. And 9 times out of 10, you do.
Yeah, definitely. And it all adds up. Like, the best thing I've ever bought is an Apple Watch, because I've set my goal as 30 minutes of exercise a day.
Yeah.
And it will tell you when you're exercising based on your heart rate.
Yeah.
So I'll look at my watch throughout the day and I'm like, oh, it's telling me I've done 5 minutes of exercise. And that's purely because, like, me and the kids have had a silly couple of minutes where we've danced around like crazy people to one of the songs that's on, or I've done like a brisk walk to school because we're running late or whatever. It will count all of that as exercise. And then if you whack in a 12-minute quick YouTube workout in there, before you know it, you've hit your 30 minutes and you've barely even like had to do anything and you've not had to leave the house. So,
and
it,
like,
does
you said,
all add up.
It adds up. And I think it's the consistency over time.
Yeah.
What actually, I don't know, in a year's time, you might look back and think, oh, I was down in the dumps then, but look at me now and I've not really done anything. I've just stayed consistent.
Yeah, definitely. That's something I need to preach to myself, because
yeah.
I haven't hit my 10,000 steps or my 30 minutes exercise all of this week. So I need to like kick my butt in gear.
We'll just do the podcast like this.
Yeah, just start doing like star jumps on the podcast. Thing is, I do have a trampoline at home, like one of the bounce trampolines for the bounce workouts.
Yeah.
I have all of the YouTube things on my telly. I have a Fit app on my telly as well. I have all the things to do it. But I always prioritize work or housework or like all of the other things. But I need to flip it and prioritize my health. But I think that's one of the hardest things to do when you've got so many plates that you're spinning in motherhood. Yeah,
it's hard. But just even just little things to make yourself feel that little bit better about yourself as a mum. Like this morning I got up, did the school run, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to put some makeup on today.
Yeah.
And even just, I mean, I haven't got a full face, but just a little bit of mascara, lip gloss, and you think, oh, actually, that's made me feel really good. So it's all these little things that add up over time, even new things, just like putting a bit of makeup on. Yeah. It helps you find you.
Yeah.
And you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I felt so sorry for my best friend yesterday. She voice noted me. We're voice noters as well.
Yeah.
I think most mums are probably voice noters.
Mums are voice noters,
But she voice noted me. I'd posted a few stories and she voice noted me like, it's not fair. How come you look so beautiful in the mornings and I don't? I just look like a frumpy mess and you always just look so amazing. And I'm like, one, no, I don't. I've literally rolled out of bed. The only reason that I don't have to wear makeup anymore is because I get my eyelashes and eyebrows done so that I can roll out of bed and be done. Like, I don't have to do anything. And two, she's just had a baby. So she's got a 7-month-old that is constantly breastfeeding. So she doesn't have the time to constantly, like, to be washing her hair when she wants to be and doing her face and stuff like that. And I'm like, it will come with time. But for now, you just need to, even if it's literally 2 minutes of whacking a bit of mascara on or, you know, like getting someone to have the baby so that you can give your hair a proper wash. Like, just these tiny little nuggets of time throughout your day, just try where you can to not scroll on your phone, not like do other things, but just focus on you. And I think as mums, that's one of the hardest things to do, is put yourself above all of the other things that you could be doing.
Yeah, because you feel guilty for it end of day. Yeah. Like, you think, oh, I've just spent 5 minutes doing my hair. I could have spent 5 minutes playing with kids. But you've got to prioritise yourself some days. Like, you just need to, otherwise you'll end up just in a downward spiral.
Yeah, definitely. I saw this post the other day that was like, mums need to fill their cup first before they start using their cup to fill other people's cups.
Definitely.
But it was like, why should we be filling our cups just to fill other people's cups? Mm-hmm. We should be filling our cups to for make us. Ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
Like, for us, not for them. Yeah. Like, yes, it's true that by filling our cups, we are better mums, we are better partners.
Yeah.
But we also just want to feel like ourselves again.
Yeah,
and we are allowed to do that.
Definitely. I mean, sometimes on a night, I'll get the kids in bed and then I'll have a bar of chocolate. And although most of the time I'll be like, oh, I shouldn't really be eating this in bed. But then I think, this is going to make me feel good. And that five minutes of happiness while I enjoy that chocolate is great.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, something as simple as that. And it's just good.
I know. But I think it is quite difficult when you are in the newborn or like young baby stages.
Because
you very much lose your self-esteem a bit. And I think that massively has an effect on you feeling guilt, because I've definitely come out the other side and I feel guilt a lot less now. Like, I had a nap with my little boy the other day.
Oh, I saw that.
House was
an
absolute shithole. And I was like, I should be doing the housework, but I'm not going to. I need a nap. I'm tired.
I mean, nobody's going to tell you off for a mucky, not a mucky house, but like messy house. No one's going to be like, excuse me. Get
up. Exactly. Yeah. But back when he was younger, there was absolutely no way I would have done that, because my self-esteem was so much lower that I'd have been like, oh no, I can't take a nap. I need to tidy the house. So I fully get it when mums are still in that like young baby stage.
I struggled so much as well. So because I knew Caius was my last baby, like I thought, I really want to give breastfeeding a try. Like, I don't care how a kid's fed, whether it's breastfed, you know, bottle fed formula, whatever, I couldn't care less, but I really, really wanted to give it a go. And through support from other mums, I mean I'm still breastfeeding now at like over a year on, which has completely surprised me, but in that first 6 weeks I must have wanted to quit breastfeeding every single day, because I felt so guilty, because I literally had a newborn hung off my tit and bleeding. I looked like a homeless person, and my toddler was like, "Mom, can you complain?" I was like, "Oh, 1 minute, what? Just one minute, please."
Yeah.
And it was horrible. Mm. I honestly hated that first month with two kids, and because I found it such a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, Neil went back to work as well 3 days after I gave birth.
Oh. Yeah.
So I was like, I gave birth on the Friday. By Monday, he was at work, and I was like, "Oh shit, I've got two kids on my own. What am I supposed to do?"
Yeah.
But after that first month got out the way and I kind of found a routine, I figured out what I was doing, it slowly got better. And like now, a year on, it's fine. Like, I've got my routine at home. I know what I'm doing. I'm slowly finding myself again. I'm doing things for me and not feeling guilty about it. So it is just taking that time to get to that stage.
Yeah, definitely. And why do you think mothers do forget who they are? Like, what do you think is behind that?
I think it's because you're so wrapped up in the bubble of looking after everybody else. And society, I feel like, has such a hard thing on mums. I don't even know how to word that, but society is basically telling you, you have to have a clean house. Your kids have to be this sort of way. Like, they have to be good. They can't misbehave. You've got to go to work. You don't have to go to work. Like, you're feeding all the time. And like, it's like a head boggle as a mum.
Yeah.
It's just telling you have to do this, 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 this. And by the time you've done all that, you're like, oh, what even am I anymore? I'm just doing everything for everyone but me.
Yeah, I think we're in a really difficult stage in society, because we're in that like halfway house between how it used to be, but like women staying at home, being the caregivers, being the housekeepers, and the men going out to work and being the breadwinners, to like the future of women, which is going to be like hopefully 50-50 of women going out to work and men also going out to work, but then also taking 50-50 of the house and caregiving stuff. But I think we're still in like a middle ground, limbo of like, well, okay, we're not quite at the 50-50 stage yet. So mums are having to work, be the caregivers, be the housekeepers, and do all of the other things, like all in one. So until we get to that stage of like, I guess equality with it all, it's going to be tough for mums.
It is. And it's just, even the mental load, like take away all the physical stuff you've got to do, the mental load of like, oh, I've got to do doctors, I've got to do school, I've got to do this.
Yeah.
It is a lot. It's a lot to take on for anyone. And I think just the expectations on mums, is it's just so much. So no wonder we lose ourselves, because we're just expected that much.
I actually had an argument with my husband yesterday about the mental load, because I accidentally sent my daughter to school in school uniform on PE day and we both went together to pick her up, and he was like, why is she in school uniform? It's PE day. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake, I'm such an idiot. And then he was like, oh, Bella, were you really sad today at school? Was it really sad? Did you get upset because you were wearing your thing? And then he accidentally tripped her up and she fell in the mud and got upset. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry for tripping you up in the mud. And I'm so sorry for mummy sending you to school in your school uniform. And I was like, will you fuck off? Like, I have so much to remember. Like, that day was also an art gallery day for Bella's school. So they've all created pieces of artwork based on a topic. And we had to go to the art gallery and go round and look at all the stuff and whatever. So I had to remember that. And there was so much else that I was having to remember. And it's my husband's birthday next week. I've planned a big surprise. So I was like dealing with all of that. And I was like, it's a lot in my brain. And then you're like making these little jabs at me about me having forgotten that it was PE day. And like, it's not okay. You could have remembered that it was PE day and put her PE kit out. Like, why is it all on me? Stop putting it all on me.
Yeah.
So it's really tough, isn't it?
I mean, even like, Teas are something that really annoy me, like, because you have to plan it every single day.
Yeah.
And I said to Neil the other day, I was like, oh, what's for tea? And he was like, oh, I don't know, whatever you fancy. And I thought, no, wrong answer. You're supposed to say, oh, hey, we're having this today, because that's what I'd usually do.
Yeah.
And I think it shouldn't all be on the mums, even something as simple as deciding what's for tea.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
The dad could do that.
I know. It makes me laugh because on my fridge, I have a meal planner and I plan my meals, our meals in the family every week, and then write the food shop like according to that.
I have the exact same.
And Alec asked me yesterday, what's for dinner? And I was like,
hon, read the list.
There's literally a list right in front of you. Fucking look at it. Like, it is there on the fridge. Don't ask me. And also, while you're there, do you want to like offer to plan the meals at some point so that I don't have to do it every week? I think because we work equal hours, so it's not even as though like one is at work most of the time and the other's not, because we work the same amount, but somehow through society, through how women are wired, I don't know, somehow I still have the brunt of the mental load. I mean, I have delegated some bits, and like Bella is now in a gymnastics squad, and I've got the school emails coming to me, like I sort out the swimming for Bailey, and I just thought, I'm gonna delegate gymnastics and Alec can deal with that. So he's in the gymnastics group chat as well as me, so that when stuff comes up that we need to do in there, I can be like, oh, can you look at the gymnastics chat and sort that out so that I don't have to do it. So that's one less thing. Yeah, it's only fair. I've got everything else that I have to remember.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I know. It really is tough. There's a book, actually, called Fair Play. Can't remember the author.
Yeah.
But it's called Fair Play, and it's all about this discussion around like equal delegation of jobs and the mental load and stuff. And it's really, really good. So highly recommend that.
I'll have to have a look. I mean, it's something I've struggled with as well. I've come to terms with it more now. Mm. But with Neil always working away, like sometimes he'll come back, and obviously I get it. He's been at work, so he wants to chill out. But then I'm just like, whoa, I've had the kids. Take the kids.
Yeah.
And I get annoyed sometimes because I'm like, mate, I've had the kids all week on my own.
Yeah.
Just go do something. But like, we've adapted it better now. So like in the house, in terms of like being more organized and stuff, I'm a sucker for a list.
Yeah.
Everything has to be wrote down. I've got like three calendars on go, a notebook, and I'm like, right, this is what we're doing today. So I'll have all my weekly plan. And like the way I manage on my own all week, so I'm not as stressed as like when Neil comes back, I'll split my house jobs up throughout the week. So like, for example, on a Monday, I might do hoovering upstairs, changing the beds and cleaning the bathroom. Tuesday, I'll have another three jobs. So I'm not tiring myself out anymore. So I'll literally highlight the main jobs I need to do, get those done, and then the other side bits or whatever. Then on a weekend, I'll be like, right, there's this what needs doing, wash load, and then I'll write Neil's name.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, you're doing this, hon. The tea, you're doing it. Bath night, you're doing it. And I think that's the only way I manage, like, doing it solo all week. Because I work weekends. So Neil works away in the week. I work, like, all weekend, basically. So we have to, because we're kind of like passing ships, we have to have these lists in place. Otherwise, our house would just look like a bomb site.
Yeah.
And nothing would be done because it would just be left to me and I'd get burnout. And I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. I think that's maybe where I do get burnt out so much, because I don't have a list. I do just do all the jobs, and I will nag Alec to do the jobs. So I'll be like, can you do this? Can you do that? Yeah. But having to ask to do those jobs, it's kind so of adds annoying to the burnout. So it just makes you feel resentful and like angry.
Just get a list and get his name written on there. Be like,
We used to have like a chore chart. And if you completed, and it was based on like each day, and if you completed a task, you put your initial in the box.
Love that.
And Alec is so competitive that he wanted his initial to be in like every single box.
Yeah.
So he would do all the things, and I was like, great, this is working. Yeah. But soon the novelty wore off, and like he just stopped doing it. And I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do now?
Bring it
and
back.
And it made me laugh. Yeah, bring it back. It made me laugh yesterday because we both got up at the same time. So we both had the same like early wake up. However, I'd gone to bed really late because I was working.
Yeah.
So we both got up. We were both tired. Anyway, he went out to work. I stayed home and worked. I was working from home.
Yeah.
And so I was still working. I just wasn't out of the house working, you know? Yeah. And I also did all of the housework, picked the kids up from school, all of that stuff. Anyway, he got home and there was loads of jobs to do, and he sat on the sofa and just went, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just going to sit down for a bit. And I was like doing the jobs anyway. And then I was like, we've got so many jobs left to do before bedtime. Like, you're going to have to get up and help. And he was like, oh, I know. I'm just struggling. I'm really tired. And I was just like, I'm fucking tired too, but I don't have a choice because there's things that need to be done, and like there's bedtime and bath time and all of this. And I feel like maybe that's how we are wired differently, is that mums do sacrifice themselves, whereas I'm not sure if dads feel like they have to or not, because I don't know about you, there will be times where I'll be like needing a wee or something, or needing a drink, but there's things that need to be done. So
you'll go without.
I'll go without. I'll hold the wee in. I'll do the things. I'll change the nappy. I'll get the kids dressed or whatever.
Yeah.
But as soon as my husband needs a wee or poo, he's like, cool, I'm going to go for a wee or poo. He won't like look and be like, oh, this needs doing, that needs doing, the kids aren't dressed yet, we've got to leave the house in 10 minutes. He'll just be like, well, I need a poo, and so I'm going to go for a poo.
Yeah. It's like... Neil had this thing lately where... So I've brought it up to him, and he's stopped doing it as much now, but like he was like, oh, I'm just going to nip for a shower, or I just need the toilet. And I'd be like, oh, how convenient. You need that right at tea time, just when I need the help. But sure, you go and enjoy your peace. And it really annoyed me because I thought, so I've now got to deal both kids and sort tea. And I'll do the washing up while I do tea, because my head's always like, right, if I'm washing up, I've got 5 minutes, I can wash some of the pots while I'm doing this. And my head's like, all the time.
Yeah.
But they just seem to plod along, and it's all good.
Yeah. And I know it's not like a generalization because it's not all dads this, because I've seen this dad on Instagram that literally shares him cleaning the entire house, and he shares little like captions that are like, I'm not gonna make my wife be like a working wife and a housekeeper and all of this stuff or whatever. And he's like, I do not believe in default parenting. Like, we both created these children. We should both do all the things. And he shares like videos of him. He's like a male Mrs. Hinch, basically.
Love that.
Yeah. And so I know it's not a generalization. And I do know some dads who are the default parent who do like the majority of the mental load. And
especially
and
for like single parents, single dads out there.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. And like some of the school mums at my daughter's school dads at my daughter's school, they do the majority of like the childcare and stuff because the mum is the full time worker.
Yeah.
So it's not a generalization, but from personal experience, this, and like, I know that a lot of people feel the same as well, just from the stuff
definitely.
That I post, that it does seem to be that we sacrifice ourselves a lot. And I don't know if that's something that we should stop doing, and we should be like, I need a wee. I'm going to go for a wee now while I need one. I'm going to not change that nappy and not, you know, get the kids dressed or not do whatever. I'm going to go for my wee because that's meeting my basic needs. But somewhere within us, we feel as though we can't just meet those needs when we need to. And somewhere within some dads, they are able to meet their needs whenever they need to.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, don't get me wrong, as much as like I joke about Neil, Neil's actually such a good dad. Like when he comes home on a weekend, if I want something done, I could say, oh, Neil, do you mind just doing this? And he'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. If you want to go get a bath, go get in the bath. Like, it's just the odd times that I kind of hold on to and I'm like, oh, I could really done with help that day. And I'm a bit of a grudge holder, which is something I need to get rid of. But that doesn't help. But like last night, for example, it was Thursday night, Neil came home. I'd done tea, I'd done all the pots. I wanted a bath and the kids were just being arseholes, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not bathing them. And he was like, but it's bath night. And I was like, well, you go bath them then. He was like, come on then, kids. I'll go bath you. And I was like, yeah, all right. Oscar's got this thing as well at the minute where he just doesn't want anyone but me. I don't know if that's a phase, but he just wants me for everything. And I don't know why, because I shout at him all the time. So really, they should want the dad.
Yeah.
But so I goes upstairs with him. I was like, no, go on, dad's bathing you tonight. And I laid on the kid's bed, just scrolling on my phone. And I thought, this is so good.
Yeah.
I love this. I mean, it was just like a little retreat, half an hour retreat on the bed, me just enjoying Instagram while the kids are like absolutely screaming, like riot in the bathroom. And I was like to Neil, I was like, you enjoying bath time? I thought, because it doesn't sound fun. And he's like, actually, it's going all right. And I thought, you're a liar.
Yeah.
But enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. Like, Alec is brilliant. Like, if I ask as well, he'll do stuff. He's great with the kids. His work is really good because it's so flexible that he does come and do some school runs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I needed to get my eyelashes done and I'd forgotten to tell him that I was doing that. So he got home from work and I was like, oh, sorry, I'm off out. I'm getting my lashes done.
Yeah.
And there was no like whinging or moaning. He was like, cool, I'll cook dinner.
Really,
that's
good.
Fine. No worries. So like, I do have it really good and I'm lucky because I do know some people whose husbands just literally do nothing and like play video games all day and stuff.
Yeah.
So I am incredibly lucky. But there are those little moments of like, wow, we are wired so freaking differently because I've needed a pee for like half an hour, but I've not done it because I'm cooking dinner.
Or you've skipped a meal.
Yeah. Or you've skipped a meal. You've not drunk anything all day. And yet, like, the minute he gets in from work, he's like, cool, I'm going to go for a half an hour shit.
Cool. You go and enjoy that. I'll just send the kids up to annoy you in 5 minutes.
Yeah. But they don't know, because when I'm having a wee or a poo, they'll come in, they'll be round my feet, they'll be asking to see my bum and, like, the wee
Oscar
coming out
does
of it.
That.
Or they'll be, like, just chatting to me. But when dad's in the toilet, they just leave him to it. And I'm like, seriously? Yeah. Or like if I'm in the toilet, they'll go past dad to come to me to ask me for a snack. And I'm like, your dad is literally sat on the sofa. Like, go and ask him.
I'm so glad you said about your kids wanting to look at your poo or your bum or whatever, because Oscar's got this thing at the minute. It's like, are you okay, Mum? Does that poo hurt? I'm like, just leave me alone. Just please leave me to poo on my own. Just 5 minutes. You don't
Bailey
need to look at it.
Bailey keeps literally wanting to like watch it come out. And I'm like, no, stop being disgusting. Go away. But I think it's just the fascination of with like, because they can't really see their own come out because Bailey's still in nappies. So he's like fascinated by like where it comes from and all of that.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, to be fair, I once showed, Oscar's got this thing of, he'll like point to my belly and he'll be like, oh, did I come out of there? Did I? And I was like, right, you know what? A lot of people won't agree with this, but I thought, I've got my birth video of Caius. Oh, I was like, if you want to see where the baby comes from, I will show you if you want to see it. I says, but it is a bit gory. I says, you might see a little bit of blood. And he's like, I'll see it. Mm. So I sits him down and I was like, right, this is actually where Caius came from. This is where you came from.
Yeah.
And he's like, he was watching and he was like, whoa, what is that? And I was like, that's, you know, where babies come from. And he was like, yeah, I'm done. I thought, right, I've scarred my 3-year-old for life.
For life, yeah.
But I think sometimes
they need to see it.
Yeah, like I'm very much a mum who will like call, you know, a willy, a penis.
Yeah.
Like, I find it weirder calling it like a willy or I don't even know what girls call vaginas because I've called it a vagina that long.
Yeah.
I say it to him, I'm like, it's boobs, breasts, whatever, vagina, penis.
Yeah.
And he just goes along with it now. So like for some people I guess that's weird, but for me, I'm a very open parent where I will talk about literally anything he wants a question answered to.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. And I was saying the other day that we're very much a naked household. Like, I think you have like naked households or not naked households.
Yes, you do.
My best friend is very much not naked household. Like, she never lets her daughter see her naked. That like she wants to keep it all private. Whereas I had a bath with my daughter the other day and it was actually really nice because we washed each other's hair. Like I'll get naked in front of them and get dressed and stuff like that. And like they'll talk about bodies, like they'll talk about my saggy tummy and why it's like that. And like they'll talk about our genitalia and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with that because like it opens up the conversation
learning
around those things.
Kids are so innocent.
Yeah.
Like they're not looking at your boobs in like, oh, mum's got nice boobs. Like, I mean, I'd love it if someone gave me that compliment. But like, you know, they're curious.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all they are. Like, there's nothing weird about that.
Yeah. Actually did say I had a nice belly the other day.
Oh,
and I was like,
love
that. Thank you. That's so sweet. He was like, it's nice because it's squidgy and cuddly. And I was like, okay.
I'll take that.
I'll take it. It's fine. I'll take it. Cuddly's good. But yeah, I think being open is always good. And
it's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I swear in front of my kids as well. I don't know if you're a swearing household, not a swearing household, but we are.
I try not to because I'm terrified of them going to school saying it. Like, Bella would never because she literally worships the ground that her teachers walk on, so she would never swear in front of them.
Yeah.
But Bailey is a little sod and, like, he
That's a
would
boy
definitely...
Thing.
Yeah,
boy
he would
thing,
definitely
yeah.
go to school and be like, fuck! Like, he his new thing at the moment, he keeps saying bullsack all the time and I'm like, please
Love
don't
that.
Say that at school. Please.
We have this rule. So to be fair, I'm the main swearer, which I'm not proud about. Like, you'd think with Neil being like army background, he'd be the worst for it, but it's me. Like, Neil will even say, potty mouth. And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Okay, then. But like, Oscar, we'll have this rule where he's allowed one swear word a day because they do pick it up. I mean, we have like a ginnel at the back of our house. Loads of teenagers go down there. They're always swearing. So he says stuff anyway because he hears it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, right, you're allowed one word a day and you can only say it to mum or dad.
Yeah.
And that works really well for us. He's never swore outside of like our house.
That's good. Yeah.
He's very good with his manners. Because like people will say, oh, he's really good with that. And I'm like, yeah, you should hear some of the things he says at home.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they're
I think it's
different
just,
at home, aren't they?
Yeah, you've just got to have that positive boundary in place. And I think that does work. So works for us anyway.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, on that note, could you please tell all my listeners where we can find you on social media?
Yes, so I'm just Brody Briddock pretty much everywhere, like on Instagram. I'm trying to navigate TikTok. I find TikTok a lot harder, but
same.
Yeah, YouTube is my main thing. I talk about all things motherhood. Like if you're into a very honest side of motherhood, you know, talking about the highs and lows and just normality. I hate seeing all this fake shit online.
Yeah.
I'm just a very normal mum navigating my way with two boys. So yeah, I'm on YouTube. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Yes, it's been really nice talking about all the things that people don't talk about.
Yeah, that's what this podcast is about after all.
Yes, it's been great. Thank you. And lovely to meet you, like person to person as well.
Yeah, and you. It's nice when you follow someone, isn't it? And then you feel like you know them, but then when you get to chat, it's just really nice.
Yeah, it's nice to put face to name.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so, yeah, I will see you soon. You're welcome. Bye.
Yes, take care. See you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.